Many Asian cultures observe the Harvest Moon Festival this time of the year. Korea today kicks off a three-day observance of Chuseok, the Mid-Autumn Harvest Festival. To better understand this ancient holiday, the conversation Stephanie Han explores the Korean tradition of shamanism.
71% of Korean Americans practice Christianity, but a 2021 Korean Gallup poll showed that 60% of the Korean population had no religious belief, and the rest claim a Buddhist, Confucian, Christian, or other kind of belief. Shamanism or Muism is a religious practice indigenous to the Korean peninsula. Today we'll meet two shaman or mudong, healers and spiritual practitioners. Jennifer Kim, or Mudong Jen, is the founder of an e-zine, Musok Life, and Dohee Lee, founder of Puri Arts, is a mudong who follows the Jeju Island tradition, and she's also a Korean traditional dancer and musician. First up, Jennifer Kim.
So Korean shamans, mudongs, are mostly women. Nowadays, in more modern times, there's men involved and, you know, and queer folks and people who are non-binary and things of that nature. But mostly in older times, the Korean shamans known as mudongs were often women. And the narrative around shamans goes to say that these women had a calling, that the calling is through a shamanic illness or a spirit illness known as shinbyung. Shin means spirit, kyung means illness, and it means that someone who's afflicted by the spirits, and everyone has different shamanic illnesses, and it could look different from person to person, but it was believed that a person is being harassed by spirits, or they are being attacked by spirits because they have a calling. Korean shamanism is really about working with the nature, because a lot of times when we're looking at the pantheon of Korean gods, spirits, and deities, a lot of the spirits and gods and deities are guardians of nature. For example, Sanshin, which is the mountain god, is the guardian of mountain and the earth. And Yeowang, the dragon king, is the guardian of the waters, the rivers, and the lakes, and the rain. So a lot of the spirits that we work with are working with the deities or the guardians of nature, spirits of our home, land spirits, earth spirits, and also spirits that are blood and non-blood ancestors as well.
Why is this ancient wisdom possibly relevant today? And what is truly different about it?
I feel that the rituals or the ceremony spaces of mudongs were always there for the people. A lot of times, ceremony spaces was a space where people felt safe to come out and share their grievances, the grievances towards what was happening in their lives, or some of the things, or maybe because of society, or maybe something political. It was always a space to share and to express our han, our grief. And because of that, I feel that shamanism could be used as a political vehicle too, because I know that in the 70s or the 80s, Madanggut, which is a type of ceremony, it was used as a vehicle to power the voices of protesters with the military regime of Korea back then. Because it's that the ceremony or the rituals or what shamans do is supposed to amplify the voices of the people. Back in the Three Kingdom period, it was something that everybody believed in, regardless of class, rank, or, you know, if you were a higher noble or not, or just a normal person. But during the Joseon Dynasty, shamanism became the religion or the belief of the common folk. The aristocrats or everyone who was an elite either followed a different type of belief system or more sophisticated, like Buddhism or Confucianism. Shamanism has always been, for the people, a space where people come to express their anger, their grief, their sadness, and it was always there to amplify the power of the people and to empower the people. So I think it's great that shamanism could be this multifaceted tool or vehicle that could be there to support people in different movements, whether it's a feminist movement or a movement that's there for environmental protection and change or just civil rights. It's a great vehicle to help amplify the voices, to give space to the voices, and to give strength to the voices by bringing in our spirits and our ancestors and calling in the energies of the land. Shamanism also in Korean history was always looked down upon because shaman ceremonies gave space and power to the voices, like women, and especially in Korean, in a very patriarchal society that was very male dominant, women did not have much like rights or power to hold their decisions with their lives. And shamanism was a way that women was able to empower themselves and regain control. Some of the writings that talk about shamans back in the day were written by scholars, and they will often criticize how these women in these spaces were acting like men because they were not acting like their gendered roles or structures. What I'm trying to say is that through shamanism, women have space to step up, to be the voice and to say and call things out. What's wrong with our, you know, what's happening in our society or in these political spaces, environment spaces. I do believe, as with my experience working as a shaman and meeting with people, that our matriarchs are so powerful and so important. I mean, I think that nowadays everyone knows the labor and how societies are built off the labor of women in our backs and the matriarchs of our family. So I think that women, in reality, I feel like women are leaders. I mean, this is what a lot of women around the world in many countries and many cultures have always stepped up, whether stepping up to protect our family, protect our neighbor's family, you know, the children. I feel like women have always been there to lead and to use our voices to talk about the things that are destroying the world, like you know, environment.
I first saw Dohee Lee at an event she created for Women Cross DMZ, a group dedicated to peace on the Korean Peninsula. She explained her history and how she began.
지가에 축하시니 생명이 살아나옵됐다. 천지가 열리고 생명이 살아가난 밝은 날이 되었수다.
Through my art practice, I did a lot of history storytelling through the art. But all the structure that I followed was like in really ritual form.
If I'm a person, I don't know anything about it. Just give me a basic outline.
Korean shamanism, you know, in indigenous practice, that's the indigenous practice, right? You know, it doesn't really necessarily, for myself, not putting into religious form, because this is just practice towards the land and people and, you know, nature and the weather and all that, how human is related to the all the beings. You know, literally it became the religious format now. In shamanism in Korea, we have a different form, like, you know, how you becoming, you know, one is your heritage, your mother, your grandmother, or your family line has that history, so it passed down on you, so you becoming the, you know, doing this practice. But another form is you are becoming just one day you receive, kind of having this sickness, spiritual sickness that caused some of the finding hard reason why I am sick type. So people go through it and then following this path of becoming the healer. I usually called in the shaman as a healer, they're the healer. So that's the really biggest way of you can see who really becoming, you know, following that path.
Right.
And another way that you can see is man and woman, right? In Korea, when we see this practice, you see majority of the people who are doing is the woman. So that's another part of the woman as a woman's body, how much we really capable to carrying all those things. And also you talk about the who they are, really believe in kind of things, you know, it's a deity, we call it deities. And it depends on which reason you doing this practice is different. The tradition that I'm, you know, still studying and following is Jeju Island, and we believe that there is 18,000 of the deities.
Wow.
So 18,000 신, that's how
18,000, I mean, that's incredible.
we cannot even name all that 18,000 of the deities. That
right.
means very metaphorically, there are so many spirits and deities that really protect us.
That's interesting because it also suggests that it is a highly personal practice because somebody mm-hmm. could name a deity and the other person has never even heard of it if there's 18,000.
Yeah, it's really different from the different regions too.
Were you raised with this kind of thinking or practice?
I've been called a lot of times and even the shamans really told me to, I have to follow this path. And I had it in Korea a lot of times that I didn't want to be, honestly.
Right.
So I was kind of resist a lot and didn't have my family, you know, my lineage doesn't have that either. So I didn't really want to go that direction, you know. And then when I came here, I found myself with my own sickness and symptoms, you know, all those things guided by this shaman from Korea and sharing about what's happening within my body. And that's the kind of what I need to accept, you know, the path that I just have to follow. It was easier for me kind of way because the practicing the art is already in that path.
Right. So the link between artistic expression and creativity mm-hmm. and shamanism is, in other words, quite close.
Very close. Yeah, that was very surprised later on. More and more realization comes more bigger that, oh, that's why I did this. Oh, that's why I was doing that kind of things. Yeah.
And why do you think why is this knowledge, this ancient wisdom of relevance mm-hmm. today?
I think because I'm really learning, you know, kind of realizing a lot that we talk about colonization. You know, when we talk about colonization, it's about the land. You know, who is colonizing whose land. But in that way, I feel like, you know, when they're colonizing the land, they're colonizing the spirituality too. For the land, for the, you know, country, for the humanity, for the community, and for all the different areas that what we really need to pay attention. And then seeing through the very specific culture, the practice, you know, I want also people to remind themselves, yes, you also have your own culture. We need to connect to our own culture, ancestral practice.
Right.
That's part of, you know, knowing who we are, our own identity.
Korean film, music, beauty, and fashion are on the global stage, but it's the indigenous belief of shamanism that may be of great significance when it comes to politics and colonialism. Korea has a long history of colonial rule, from China to Japan and now the U.S. Shamanism, an indigenous practice led by women, impacts an understanding of civil liberties and Korean peace on the peninsula.
That was HBR Stephanie Han talking with Jennifer Kim and Dohee Lee Tu Mudang, or Korean shaman, about this indigenous practice. The Mudang would often take part in ceremonies around this time of year of the harvest, praying for a good harvest. And if you are looking to mark the Fall Harvest Moon Festival, you can head down to Chinatown Friday and Saturday. There are events scheduled, and grab a mooncake to celebrate.